Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf nun ches. We're starting a brand new Mishnah. You'll recall in the previous parak we started a zil mekoymen shel zvachim, that the kodshi kedushim had to be geshachten on the tzofein side of the azara. Now our Mishnah is introducing, if you will, another option in terms of
alternative.
Thank you, an alternative option in terms of shechting. Typically, where did the shechita take place? In the azara, in the tzofin side of the azara, with the shoichid with his two legs on the ground, and of course lahavdil the carbon with its four legs on the ground, or maybe upside down. But the point is on the ground, on the ritzvah of the azara. What happens if kachi kudushim shachtim beroisham is beach? Oi, the shoichid, the koyin took the kachim, the carbon, to the top of the mizbeach. That's not normally where you go and shecht. You normally shecht down below.
So that's not normal protocol?
Not normal protocol. It's exactly right. What happens if you did so? Rabbi Yosi Oimer, your yoitza, kilo nishchetu betzof, and it's not a problem. This is an acceptable alternative. And it's if it's in tzofin. We're going to see what that means, kilo nishchetu betzofin, but bottom line it means is, Kosher, fine.
Is he saying this because he's Rabbi Yossi the Galilean? He's from
north? No, it's Rabbi Yossi Brechalafta.
When Rabbi Yossi the Galilean is referred to, it always adds Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Stam Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi Brechalafta. And we continue on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, another Rabbi Yossi, Oimer. He says, Mechatzi ha-mizbeach v'ladorim kedorim, Mechatzi ha-mizbeach v'latzofayim kedzofayim. You split the mizbeach in the middle, the upper half, which means the one that's towards the northern wall, that has a status like tzofayim, the southern half, which is the one that's closer to the kevesh, going up the ramp, that is considered to be like dorim. That, of course, has major ramifications if you've decided to go and check the carbon at the top of the mizbeach. If it's kodshi kudushim, then you can only do it on the northern side, that northern half of the mizbeach. If it's any other carbon, you can put it on even on the southern side. We're going to talk more about this, as you'll see in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Om Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan. Oim Rehoye Rabbi Yossi Kulei Mizbeach V'Tzofin Koi. We assume at the outset that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining our Mishnah, at least that Ravasi is quoting Rabbi Yochanan to be able to explain our Mishnah. Why would Rabbi Yossi hold that the top of the Mizbeach is all considered to be Tzofin? Because in fact it was B'Tzofin. So even though normally the protocol was to go and check down below on the floor, but you can check up above since you're in the tzofin side of the azara. So feiti mori bazoi mai ki'ilu, sinishka ki'ilu, you're mamish b'tzofin. Just the fact that you happen to be 9 amas elevated from the ground, but you're still b'tzofin, so what's the ki'ilu? So it turns out the same, but in al yerech, the lek of the posik says, v'shochat oisai al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofin lefnei Hashem. Al yerech means on the side of the mizbeach. So I would think the side has got to be down below and not up above. Ah, that's what I would have thought. Kamash v'lon, that's why that's why our Mishnah is telling you, ki'ilu nishkatu b'tzofin means not so much the ki'ilu on the tzofin aspect, but ki'ilu it was geshochten on the floor of the azara, even though it was 9 amis elevated from the floor. So that's the simple interpretation. We're going to see shortly the Gemara is going to change its mind. Since until now we spoke about Rabbi Yossi, who is the first Tana, let's now go to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It would sound like the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is a location machloikis. Where was the Mizbeach located? That Rabbi Yossi says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kuloi b'tzofin, that's why just like down below is tzofin, up above is tzofin, and therefore shecht away all the kachi kudushim. Masha'enker, b'chein Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, it sounds like that half of the mizbeach was situated in the tzofin side of the azara, half on the dorim side of the azara. So if you happen to be shechting on the tzofin side, so then you're in tzofin. If you're doing on the dorim side, kachi kudushim, you're not yoitz, it's gotta be b'tzofin. So the choyre, that's the machlokes. If that's the way you're going to really explain the machlokes, didn't you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Moider B'Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that second tan of our Mishnah, Shem Shochten Kinegdon Bekarka, if he would go in shecht down below, not up above on the mizbeach, but down below on the karka, kinegdon psula, it would be possible. Ooh, so it sounds like the mizbeach, in fact, was not situate 50% or more or less in the tzofen. It sounds like it was in the darim, and therefore, if you're now shechting kinegdon, exactly what the word kinegdon. Exactly what the word connecting means, the Gemara is going to go into that in another few lines. But in the meantime, what the Gemara is assuming is that since Rabbi Yochanan said, Aliv Rabbi Yochanan Behuda, that if it's in that vicinity, in that area, down the Karka would be possible, then by definition means that the Mizbeach was not Betzafayn, but the Mizbeach was Bedarim. Because otherwise, if it would be partially Betzafayn, then at least at that partial part of the Mizbeach, which is Betzafen, it should be kosher. Why does it say Keneg and Karka is possible? So that's the Gemara, you're absolutely right. The Machloikis in our Mishnah is not like we thought until now, that the Machloikis is the physicality of the Mizbeach. Was it located Kulay Betzafen, or was it located 50% Betzafen, 50% Bedarim? That's not the Machloikis. Rather, the Machloikis has to do with understanding and explaining the following Pasuk. Shnehem mikro echadorshu. Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are both focusing on the taich, the explanation of the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Bizavachta olav es oilisecha v'esh lamecha." Now, what is the olav? The olav is referring to mizbeach. How do I know it's referring to the mizbeach? Because if you look at Torah Ora Sholim Aleph for number one, Mizbach Adoma Tasali, you should go and build for me a Mizbeach. Vizavachta Olav. The word Zvicha means Shchita. You should go and Shecht on the top of the Mizbeach. On the top of the Mizbeach, Es Oilisecha V'yesh Lamecha, Es Tzoimcha V'yesh Pikarecha, etc. So on the top, Olav, on top of the Mizbeach, you should go and Shecht your Oilis and your Shlamim. Now, Shlomim, of course, you can go and shecht anywhere in the Azara because it's Kachim Kalim. However, when you're talking about an Oila, it has to be Dafki Shechted Bitzafik, because Oila is the paradigm, if you will, Kachik Kudashim. So, Ibazoi, what's now the Machlokes? So, Rabbi Yossi Sova, Kuloi li Oila, the Kuloi li Shlomim. What the Pasuk is telling you is that shechting on top of the Mizbeach is an acceptable alternative for all Karbanis. For all oilois, which all symbolize the kachik kodeshim, and for all shlamim, which symbolize all the kachim kalim, top of the mizbeach, you can go and shecht whatever you want. And Rashi says, therefore, it has nothing to do with whether the mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azara, the southern part of the Azara, in the middle of the Azara, it makes no difference whatsoever. It's like a shchita-free zone. Rashi says, one second, Rashi says, Kedushas tzofein ola migzeres ha-kosef, on the top of the Mizbeach, regardless of where the Mizbeach is situated and located inside the Azara, it's called tzofein. How do I know? Because the Pasuk says, Yizvachta ola, v'solisech v'eshlamecha. That's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi b'yudasavat. Since the Pasuk says both Oiles and Shlomim, you split it down the middle. So, V'chetzil the Oile, that part which is closer to the northern part of the Azara, that has the status of Kachi Kudishim, Shechting area. V'chetzil and the southern side of the Mizbeach is for the Shlomim. But Lav Dafka, that the Mizbeach was situate in the north, or in the south, or at the line separating between the north and the south, makes no difference. Since the Pasuk says you can go and shecht on top of the Mizbeach, it has a status als gzeiris hakosef, not als location. That according to Yosef Yehuda, 50% is called Oila, 50% is called Shlom. That's why the Pasuk says Vizavachta Oila Vesalisecha V'yeshlamecha. Says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Isol Kedaitach Kuloli Oila Kosher. If you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yosef, that the entire Mizbeach, from the top to the bottom, you can use for oilois, like Rabbi Yossi holds. Hashtekulli oila kosher. Madach, you're telling me that you can go and use this mizbeach for oilois, which have the special requirement of kachik kudishim, of the tzofein. Then kulishlami baizacham v'adad ishlamim, you can go and shecht anywhere on the mizbeach. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, who does haraya, that it's 50-50. The top part is kachik kudishim oilois. The bottom part is 50% is for the kachim kalim, like shlam. Yes, sir.
So what about the pasuk v'shachadot al yerech hamizbeach tzafona lifnei Hashem? What does that come to tell us?
What does that pasuk come to tell us? That if you're shechting it down below on the ritzpah, on the floor, then you have to do it next to the mizbeach, al yerech, adjacent to the mizbeach.
Good. Tzafona?
Adjacent to the mizbeach, on the tzaf inside.
Okay.
You have, the mizbeach is a square, don't put it to the right or to the left. It really depends on where the Mizbeach is situated. If the entire Mizbeach, the Moshel, is in the north, then you could go and shecht it to the right or to the left, because that would also still be part of the north of the Azara. But you will recall that we had a couple of weeks ago a three-way machloikis exactly how to define Tzafain. So the simple way of defining Tzafain is, it's the area... let's assume that this happens to be the Tzafain side. Let's assume that this is the northern wall of the Azara. This is the north of the Mizbeach. In between here and here, says Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, you can go and shecht without any problem, because this is in the area of the Tzafain of the Mizbeach.
Right.
According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, you also have to the left, which is the northwestern side, because this is now between the Mizbeach and what's called the Ulam and the Hechel. According to Rabbi, you even get a third piece, which is the 22 Amos, when you enter into the Azara. That's called the northeastern part. If you go and check each one Lishi Tosoi near the Mizbeach, that's the Yerech Mizbeach down below. If you're shechting up above, you have a special Kzer Sakosiv, that this is also called Tzafain, according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore you don't have to put it down here, over there, up on top of the Mizbeach, wherever you are, even if you're far removed from the Tzafain, all the way in the dark. Also good. However, contrary to Rabbi Yehuda, only the top 50%, what I say, has Tzafain status. The second 50% has Shlomim status. Or in other words, Kachi Kudishim, or a Tzafain, and done.
Thank you.
So far, so good. Frank Tiamari at Selechoyda, Rabbi Yehuda has a good point. Once you tell me that the Mizbeach is kosher for Oilois, which means it has the status of Tzafain, then of course it's good for Shlomim, because as we learned in the previous parak, Kachim Kalim, you can go and check B'chol Mokum Ba'azara. So in Bazoi, why does the Pasuk have to go and stress? V'zavachta Olav, v'lisecha, v'shlamecha, it would have been enough to go and say, v'zavachta Olav, v'esoy lisecha. And then I know automatically that the Shlomim are included. Everything was, it more gives, if you will, what we call a balabatishapshat. Balabatishapshat, in other words, not grace alumnus. The Idach says, Rabbi Yossi, you know why the Pasuk had to say, You know why the Torah gives you this additional alternative and accommodation? Because what happens if you have one of those days where it's a heavy day in terms of temple traffic, lots of people coming to the Beis HaMikdash to go and bring their korbanos, and let's say a lot of those korbanos happen to be Kachi Kudishin, in the form of Oilois, or in the form of Chatois, in the form of Ashamois, hopefully not too many Chatois Vashamois, because hopefully people did not sin Bishogeg, but you never know. And Oilois, a lot of people are bringing Doiroinois, they're bringing presents to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go and show their thanks for what Hashem has done for them, etc. Anyway, so there could be those days where it's tight in the Azara, because in the Azara, you know, you have a limited space to go and do your shechitos of the Kachi Kudishim, especially Kachi Kudishim of Yehuda, that has to be parallel to the Mizbeach, from the Mizbeach to the Kirat Zmoyin. Kudra loves Rav Shimon, you have a little bit more. According to Rebbe, you also have a little bit more, but essentially it's a limited area in the Azara. Masha Ein came, when you're talking about Kachim Kalm, you can do it everywhere. Remember, we even talked about doing it beyond the Ulam and Hechel, next to the Kodesh Kodashim, in back of the Kodesh Kodashim. The Azara, as a whole, is much, much larger than just the space where you can do the Kodesh Kodashim B'tzafai. So therefore, I might have thought the Kodesh Baruch Hu, being a very benevolent and beneficent God, said, I know there are going to be days where things are quite tight. You know what? As an alternative, you can go and shech on top of the Mizbeach. Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful idea. The assumption is Shlomim will always be placed somewhere down below. You go here, go there, in this corner, that corner, back of the Kodesh Kodoshim, and then run to the back. And of course, the Tzafin is also available for Kodesh and Kalim. So you have the entire length and breadth of the Azara. So I would think Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give you that second alternative. So that's why the Pasuk has to say, no, this is not just meant for Karchi Kudushim like Oilois, it's meant for all Karbanis, that there's a special Shechita free zone, so to speak, on top of the Mizbeach, where you don't have to start measuring and looking, is it Tzofen, is it Darim, you don't care. It's all available for all Karbanis.
So if one were a Shech and Ola on top of the Mizbeach, and then accept the blood, then you'd have to go downstairs to the down the ramp to the...
To 100% right.
To Zerika, and then you also have to take the animal itself down for Hefshif and Netuah.
Exactly, and then
schlep up the pieces.
Exactly, right. Okay. So we're not saying that this is a practical alternative, we're just saying in case somebody wanted to do it, he shouldn't say that, oh, throw him out, he didn't learn in Koyan school, he doesn't know what he's talking about. No, there's also an acceptable alternative, especially on those days where space is tight down below. Okay, so now, based on that, going back to our Mishnah, we thought originally the machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi Yehuda had to do with where the Mizbeach is situated in the Azara. Was it in the Tzofen side, the Dorim side? According to the Teretz now, has nothing to do with the Mizbeach is. It could be as Tzofen as you want, it could be as Dorim as you want. According to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, we have a special pasuk here, so kosev, that the top of the Mizbeach is considered to be also Tzofen, even if it happens to be physically Bedorim. As to how much of the top of the Mizbeach is Tzofen and how much is Dorim, that was the Machloikis, but Kuli Alamoida, at least part of it, has the status of Tzofen. Okay, very nice. Zochim Moraviter, we said before that word, those words, Shachten Kinegden Bekarka. Kufa Amr Vasi Amr Biyachanan. Moider Biyachan Biyuda, Shem Shachten Kinegden Bekarka. If you were to go and Shecht down below on the Karka, meaning on the Ritzpah of the Azara, and it was Kinegden, it would be possible. On top of the Mizbeach, kosher. Down below on the Ritzpah, it would be possible. Now the question is, what does that mean? What does that mean? So does he mean to say, if you didn't go all the way to the top of the Mizbeach, but rather you went down below, and you shechted where? On the Am Yesoid, or the Am Soivev. As you know, you had the Yesoid, at least on two of the four sides, another little Am on the other two sides. The Soivev, of course, we learned about last week, means that at a point which was six Amos away from the ground, on top of that the Mizbeach was receded, because we had three groups of forms, you remember? The bottom form was 32 by 32, the next form, which was one Amma higher, which was at the Yesoid level, in other words, one Amma from the ground, you had another form 30 by 30, so therefore, that's how you receded the rest of the Mizbeach from the Soivev, which was down below, and then you had to go up another five Amos, and then you had another recession, meaning you had another form, which was only 28 by 28, and from that point on, the Mizbeach, therefore, shrunk in size, and you did have, as a result, an Amma, a room surrounding the Mizbeach, which was, not that they built a special ledge, but the ledge was the roof, so to speak, of that second form, which had been 30 by 30 by 5 tall. Oh, so now that the rest of the Mizbeach has been receded by the additional three Amos, which had the form of 28 by 28, so then you could walk around the entire Mizbeach on that Soivev. And in fact, we said that that's how the Kahanim used to go and do the Nesinas Hadam on the four Kronos of the Mizbeach, by walking around that Soivev. Okay, very nice. So now, maybe that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda meant. If you shecht on top of the Mizbeach, then you're okay. If you shecht, however, connect them Bekarga, meaning if you're shechting on the Yesoid itself, or you're shechting on the Soiv itself, that would not be kosher. That's what the connected means, parallel to, adjacent to, the top of the Mizbeach.
If it's in the south, but if you are in the border, then if it's in the north...
But the Gemara at this point is not focusing so much on the north and on the south, the Gemara is just focusing on the words that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda used, connected
the border is at DMZ.
DMZ, very good. On top of the Mizbeach is DMZ, but if it's downstairs on the Karka, it's possible. So the Gemara wants to determine first what do these words mean, and then we'll talk about the location shortly. So what means connect the Makarka? Says the Gemara, do you mean connect the Makarka? The Mizbeach is still standing, but you're not on the top of the Mizbeach on the DMZ, like you call it, but rather you're standing on either the singular amma down below of the site, or you're standing on the amma of the site, then that's where you're shechting. And that's where we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be possible. Don't call that on the karka. Karka means down below on the floor. That's mizbeach itself. Okay, it's not at the highest point of the mizbeach. It's only at the midpoint. It's the lower point of the mizbeach. But it's not mizbeach. It's not connected to karka. V'oid, my connected to karka. If you wanted to go and say perhaps connected to karka means underneath the mizbeach. V'chitayma de'ovid mechilois bekarka v'shochet pehu. Maybe that's what he means. Connect the mekarka. Don't think of the top of the mizbeach. Think of a tunnel underneath the mizbeach. And that's if the kohen were to go and shecht underneath the mizbeach in that mechila. Mechila means a tunnel. Oh, that's what he means. Then it would be possible. Then the mizbeach would be disqualified as a mizbeach if you're tunneling under the mizbeach and making a compartment subterraneously, whether you're going to go and shecht. Aivot, and we have a brayse of the mizbach adama tasali, and the Gemara learns what means mizbach adama. Shehei mechuber ba mei adama. It's got to be attached to the ground. And what does that mean? Shlo yivnenu lo yagab mechilas v'lo yagab bekipen. That you cannot build the mizbach over a tunnel nor over a kippah. Kippah means like a dome of sorts, over a canopy. So in other words, it's got to be solidly, so to speak, bolted to the ground, attached to the ground. Anything underneath it undermines the kashrus of the mizbech. So obviously that's not what the Gemara was saying, that Rabbi Yehuda would hold shachtem kenegdem mekarka, that's an impossibility, because you're not going to make such a tunnel under the mizbech, because then you wouldn't have a mizbech. So to Gemara loitzricha, I'll tell you what he meant when he said kenegdem mekarka. He meant the batzrei bitzuri. What means batzrei bitzuri? What happens if at some time in the future the Kehanim and the people decided, you know, the Mizbeach is very, very large. We don't really need it to be so large. We want to go and shrink the Mizbeach inside. To downsize the Mizbeach. What happens if you downsize the Mizbeach? So you make it shrink. Until now it was 28 by 28, on the bottom was 32 by 32. Make it only twice 20 by 20, and at the top it'll only be 16 by 16, make it much smaller. Okay, so what happens now? If you were to go and shecht now down on the ground where the Mizbeach was originally, now I look, I can still perhaps even see, historically I show everybody, see, you can tell from the way, that's where the Mizbeach extended to, but now it's shrunk, it's much smaller. That part, if you were to go and shecht now down below, where the Mizbeach previously was up above, that would be possible. Why would that be possible? It must be because according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the whole Mizbeach was situated in the Doron side of the Azara, the southern side. So therefore, previously, some of the Mizbeach was in the southern side. And therefore, if you were to, theoretically, if you had full transparency and you would go and check down below, it would be on the tzofen side. However, now that it's shrunk, you no longer have the benefit of that. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi Batzri Bitzuri. That's the last five lines of the narrow lines of the Rashi. Batzri Bitzuri, down towards the bottom. Everybody have that?
Yep.
The narrow lines, before they've expanded down below, the lines are still shrunk. If they decided to go and cut the Mizbeach down, as you said before, that to downsize, and now the upper half, which was the tzofin part, is now
vacant.
Empty, as vacant, good. And now you shecht it down below. Even though it's the Yerech of the Mizbeach, it's right next to the Mizbeach, on the side of the Mizbeach, it passes. Al Masvirle Bidorim Azorahu the Eloi Amai Posole. Oh, that means that the Mizbeach was built in Doroim. So as long as the Mizbeach is standing, and you are the old Mizbeach is standing, and you're shechting on the top of the Mizbeach, no matter that it was Bidorim or Bitzofing. Because I have this passing Vizavachta Olav Es Oile Secha Vyashlamecha. But now that I'm cutting it down to size and causing it to shrink, even though I'm shechting in the same part of the Azorah that I shechted until now, but I wasn't elevated on top of the Mizbeach. I was down below on the floor, but where you're standing now on the floor, that's Daroim of the Azara. And therefore, it will be possible for all Oilois. However, as long as it was standing, full, complete, even though it was Bidaroim, it makes no difference, because you have the DMZ, like you said, Zavachta Olivus, or the Sech, the Torah says, I know it's Bidaroim, but you get a freebie that you can go and Shecht on top of the Mizbech, and it's deemed Bidzavoim. But once I cut part of it away, and I go down below and Shecht on the floor next to the Mizbech, that's not the Tzavoim, that's Daroim. But until now, it was good. That was Xerus Akosiv of Zavachta Olav. Yes, Rabbi, you have a question?
Yeah, how can you shrink the Mizbeach? You can't touch the Mizbeach. You cannot cut the Mizbeach.
It's a very good question.
Baba Basra, we had heard this, did that. He rebuilt it, didn't he?
He wasn't exactly righteous.
Yeah, there's no question.
The auspices of the
it has to be Avonim Shleimois. It cannot be that you go and cut it and becomes ragged and pieces sticking out and rough, 100%. But if they, for instance, instead of taking the old Mizbeach and cutting it down to size, in the stone quarry they took smaller stones, or they just didn't take as many stones, and they put them all together.
They rebuilt the Mizbeach.
They rebuilt it with a new replacement, a brand new Mizbeach.
A smaller version.
Yes, a smaller version, and that is acceptable halachically. But you're right, if in the cutting it in the Bismigdish itself, and therefore it comes out nivgam here or there or wherever, in other words, part of it is falling apart, and part of it is chipped off, no good. It has to be a full 100% Mizbeach, and they replaced it with a brand new Mizbeach. And in fact, they made a special Chanukas, I don't know, Chanukas Abayis, Chanukas Mizbeach, to celebrate a brand new. I don't know if they actually did it, but were they to do it, says Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, you'd get into trouble, because the whole Mizbeach was Bidarim. And if you're going to shech down below, connect them with karka, it would not be good for your kachi kodesh. Okay, zok yetzimar omer abzei. Efshir isel lohod Rabbi Yochanan of letin tanina lo b'mas nisin. Now that we've learned this whole shtickle Torah, all based on Rabbi Yochanan at the very, very top, where Rabbi Yochanan said that according to Rabbi Yosi, kuloi mizbeach betzofin koi. So now that sounds great, Rabbi Yochanan. But can't we go and put our finger on a Mishnah somewhere that tells us, like Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan presumably didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think it's a great idea, let's say Rabbi Yossi holds that the whole Mizbeach is Betzofin. He had to have some basis for this. So let's go and look around Shas and see if we can come up with a Mishnah that learns like this Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zayda, Efshe Isla Hadar Rabbi Yochanan, could it be that that's the halach of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mizbeach was Kulay Betzofin, according to Rabbi Yossi, v'leitimin l'masisin, and we're not going to find the Mishnah? Says Yimor Nofik Dokva Ashkach. Yeah, they found a Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, which is exactly like this Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that the whole Mizbeach is Bitzofen. Didnah. Now we're going to, as you'll see when we get to the Amud Beis, we're going to have to move the Mizbeach a few times into the Tzofen, into the Dorim, back and forth, to be able to see how that stems with Rabbi Yochanan. Didnah. It's a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah situated? It's in Masechtis Tomit. Look at the Mishnah. Biru Misham Atzei Te'ena Yofim L'Seder Marocha Shnia Shel Ketoyres. Or maybe L'Sader Marocha Shnia Shel Ketoyres. What is this all about? Generally, when we think of the Mizbeach, we think of a Mizbeach where all the way on top, smack in the middle, you have a Marocha, and that Marocha had pieces of wood around it, on which you would go and put every single day the emurim. Emurim means the chalovim. Together, Yisrael Sakovin, Shteya Kloyas, some of the innards of all of the karbanis, and where you'd put the evarim upadarim, meaning the entire carbon oila, all smack on that marocha on the top of the mizbeach. And that's 100% true. But in addition to that marocha, which we call the marocha gedoila, there was also a marocha shnia shel ketayis. What was the purpose of that Marocha Shnei Shal Ketoyres? As you know, every single day, there were Makter Ketoyres inside the Heichol. Where were they Makter it? On the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Klein Shigam Mizbeach. However, to go and burn Ketoyres, you need Gecholim, you need hot coals. They didn't make the hot coals on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but they transported the hot coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzoin into the Ulam, into the Heichol, and then placed it there with the Ketoyres, and that's where they would mak the Ketoyres, the incense, in the Heichol. Okay, So now, where did they get those kecholim from? They didn't get it from the main ma'arocha, which was being used to consume the Eimerin and the Korban Oila, but rather they got a much smaller ma'arocha, also on the top of the Mizbeach. What did they use that for? Every single day, for Torahs. They also used it once a week for another purpose, and that was to burn the Shtei Bezichel Levoina, to be able to be matir the lechem upon him for the Kehanim. As you know, throughout the week, on top of the Shulchan, you had these 12 special loaves, which were referred to as the lechem upon him. On top of that, they had two Bezichel Levoina, which were smaller containers, which had in them Levoina, a different type of incense, part of the incense. Anyway, and then every single Shabbos, we had, if you will, now you had traffic both directions. Typically, you had traffic one direction. You're taking gecholim from the chitzoin, taking into the heichel, into the panimi, to go and build, to go and burn the ketores. So you were going from Mizruch to Maariv. Go west, young man. You went towards the Maariv side. On Shabbos, you took the levoina from the heichel, which was in the west, and you're now taking it eastward into the panimi, meaning into the azara, and you're putting the levoina on top of the marocha, and you're burning it there. As a result, the Mishnah in Maseches Tumah tells us you had to have a larger marocha for Shabbos to be able to burn the additional levoina, which you didn't have to burn throughout the week. So that's what the Mishnah says. That now, biru misham, first, for purposes of the marocha, they wanted the marocha to have good, solid wood for burning so that it wouldn't have any problems. So they had a special lishka, which is called the lishkas u'etzim, and they would take etzim from that lishka to put up the marach on top of the mizbech. This is not only for purposes of this marach, also for purposes of the marach in Gedolah. But we're referring here and specifically to marach shnei shekotaitis. So they went to lishkas etzim, they took an atzit te'ini yofen, good gishmak. Gishmak in the sense that these are going to burn easily, and they were dry, exactly, and there were no worms. They had to go and inspect them for worms every day. That's the Poshe Pshat. Rashi brings us a Medrash Advar Agoda, that the reason why they used Atzit Ta'ena is to machaper on the original Avera of Odom Rishoyin, according to the Mandi Omar, that the Eitzadas was a Ta'ena. It's a three-way machloikis, as you recall, whether it was a ta'ena, whether it was a chita, right, or a gefen. The Yerushalmi says esrik, but not in the Bavli. The Bavli says it's either ta'ena, or it's gefen, or it's a chita. And so according to Bani Yom, that was ta'ena, and that's the reason why it says in the Pasuk, Vayisperu alei ta'ena, they went and made begodim made out of the leaves, out of the ta'ena. That's where you get the expression in English, it's a fig leaf, because they made it out of fig leaves. Anyway, so Rashi, you see the third line of the middle wide lines. Atzitaina yofen, Michel Taina Hayu Regilin. That was the regilis. Most of the wood there in that lishka was full of fig wood. Tam Agoda, what's the Tam Agodahu? Sheboy Hoysa Takonali Odomarishan, Vayasulahem Chagoris. Just like they made Chagoris, made clothing out of the leaves of the Taina. So here too, they used the wood for purpose of the Maracha. Yes.
When did the apple come into the equation?
According to Chazal, there is no basis for apple whatsoever. Mm-hmm. However, there are two toises in, one in Masechet's Tanis, one in Masechet's Shabbos, that say that the Esroigim are called in Sifrei Kabbalah Tapuchim. In fact, if you have the minhag to go and say Askinu Sedosa at the three meals on Shabbos, and even if you don't, you can look up in your Zmiris, it refers to the Chakal Tapichim Kadishim. That's part of the upstairs, the Meraimim. It's far, you know, it's far removed from me. What did the former president say? It's beyond my pay grade. But Chakal Tapichim Kadishim means the orchard of the holy apples. And what does apples mean in Kabbalistic literature? It means Esroigim. And therefore, since according to Yerushalmi, the Eitz Hadas, the Eitrim, was an Esrig, couple that with the fact that in Kabbalistic literature it refers to Esroigim as apple, Chakal Tapichim Kadishin, perhaps that's where the secular people got from from that the story like when, had to do with apples.
Like when Michelangelo made Moses with the horns, right? He missed.
Yeah, so there's a minhag, a pregnant woman bites off the pitam of the esrog.
Right. That's correct. What's the reason for that minhag?
It's a kapara for Chava that she should have an easy childbirth. It's just like Chava's punishment for the whole Maisa was
birth
pangs. So by doing that, by recognizing that the Esrog is the Eitz Hadas, she should have a Kapara and not
she
have...
She shouldn't bite it. Or she bites it.
She bites off the pitta. She bites off the pitta.
After the Yantar.
What Barry was referring to is that Chava had one mitzvah. Her mitzvah was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and assuming it was an Esrog, not to eat from the Esrog. And guess what she did? She ate from the Esrog. We don't even know whether she made a bracha when she made when she ate from the esrog, but she ate from that esrog. So now it says in Minchas Aluzer and other svarim that that's the basis of the minig in many communities, that after the final using the eluv and esrog for sekis, either in Hashanah Rabbah, others wait until after Yom Tov, question whether it's considered to be muktzah or not, muktzah mitzvasei. Others say, well, I already use it. There's no such thing as hukta mitzvah, and there's still a din of me'ila, right? Except for three cases. What were the three cases? Big de kahuna, egva rufa, and the truma sedeshin. Where even though that's mitzvah, so nevertheless, me'alan bite. But normally, ain't me'alan bite. But even if you already used that esrog that day, but still there are multitudes in Klal Yisrael, so you may be walking down the street and somebody say, I lost my luz van esrog, can you lend me your esrog? I'm sorry, my wife already bit off the pitam. Wait until the end, why do you have to bite it, the first thing in the morning? Wait until night. Okay, anyway, but because Chava had that mitzvah and she unfortunately was negligent and she bit from it and she got her punishment, says Menchas Luz and other svarim, that's the reason why that minig started, that women that are pregnant go and bite off the pitam to go and show the entire yontif, I had that same mitzvah as Chava. That what, I'm not let it go and bite, I'm not let it go and make the esrog smaller, but rather every single day I was holding in my hands and I shock a lulav an esrog and I didn't even think of biting it. Now that the yontif is over, at least I no longer have that mitzvah of, now I'm eating it to show you I had the desire, I would have wanted to eat it all along. The reason why I didn't do it, because you gave me that mitzvah. So therefore I was Musa Nefesh, not like Imenu Chava, who unfortunately lost it and she bit into it. I had the opportunity and the desire. I'll show you the desire, because right if the yontif was over, I bit into it. And that's why she should not have those labor pains. This is a whole year often, if you're interested, most of you don't look like you're pregnant. But if you know pregnant women, there's a whole Yeratzen that one says that incorporates all that.
The Bezich and Lavona, they're brought on the Mizbeach
HaChisa. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay. We're not up to the end. Anyway, so that's why they took the... that's the answer to your question, but the apples...
Now the apple came right into...
What's even more interesting is that, Moshe Sokolow, who dabbled
in previous script,
he's a scholar of note. And he once gave me a copy of a tshuva of a dayan in Munkach. I don't remember the name. Probably the name is probably Grunwald or something like that. One of the Rebbe's names. Anyway, a dayan. And he said that on Seder night, when we eat the charoises, the general custom is to make the charoises out of apple together with some cinnamon and together with some wine. He said, no, that you should not put an apple, you should put an esrog into the thing, because the apples I'm referring to is Chakal, Tapich, and Kaddish, and it's referring to the Esrogim. And then he brings those two choices in that we spoke about. Yes?
No, you just got to be careful of the pesticides.
Okay, you have to be careful, I guess, at all times. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so that's the source of this Atzi Ta'eni Yofiv. Let's say the Maracha Shnia, Shel Ketoris, that's that additional Maracha. Where was it situated on the top of the Mizbeach? Keneged Keren Marovist Roimis. You start off from the southwestern corner, which is next to the Kevish down below. Meshoich Mina Keren, Moshe Mina Keren Klapi Tzafayn. And now you start moving up from the actual corner, and you move up Arba Amois. Why Arba Amois? That will be the discussion on the Amid Beis. So therefore, if you wanted to go and identify where that Maracha Shnia was, start from the bottom, meaning from the Dorim side, move up four Amis, that's where your Maracha Shnia was for the Ktaris. Now, how large did it have to be? It had to be large enough that throughout the week, you put on enough wood that it would produce Bo'imit. Bo'imit means an Umdana, more or less, an estimate of Chomesh So'im Gecholim, five So'a of charcoal. On Shabbos, you have to have more. Why? For purposes of the Levina, and therefore it wasn't enough just to have five son. You had to be'imed Shmoines saw in Gecholim. Why Shisham there on top of the Maracha? You noisn and shnei bezicha levoinish alecha upon him. You schlepped out. You didn't have to schlep it. You carried the bezicha levoina from the inside, from the heichal, from the shulchan. You took it outside and you burned it on that spot. So therefore, generally every day the Gecholim were transported inside, towards the inside, towards the heichal. And this day it was the other way around, that we transported the levoina from inside. If you don't mind, if you'd be so kind. Oh, shkoyach. Adank. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now it's working, yes. But okay. Comfortable here.
Okay. We're learning Gishmak, that's why it's very comfortable.
The heat of Torah.
The supplement.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, that there had to be three extra Gecholim on Shabbos to be able to consume the Shnei Bezicha Leboina for the Lechem Apan.
That's a lot of coal for
two Bezichim. I'm surprised.
They're spoons.
Yeah, I'm also surprised. Right. Anyway, but as we state on the Mishnah. So you asked before that you brought it in, you're satisfied?
Yes, no. Okay. I was wondering about that.
Okay, so Baruch Hashem, that's been addressed. Umay Simna. Now, what is the Simen? Now, when he says over here the Simen, it's not like a mnemonic, you know, Rosh Tevis or something like that.
Simen Numah or something.
Yeah, exactly. What he wants to tell us is, excuse me, he's still numbered. Very good. So now the question is, what is the Simen? Simen means, what's the general rule? As you'll see, Rabbi Yossi is the one that gives us that general rule. So far, the Mishnah, there's not a name mentioned in the Mishnah as to who the author of the Mishnah and this halacha is. The reason I mention that is because that will become important as we go through the Gemara. So what did Rabbi Yossi say? How do you remember exactly where the Maracha Shnia was on top of the Mizbeach? The sign, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Oimer. It's not the Mishnah anymore, this is now a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi says, Ze Simen. If you want to have a simon exactly where that Maracha Shniyah Shul Ketoiris was, when for purposes of the Ketoiris and for purposes of Levoina, the simon was called Anital Bifnim Li Nosin Bachutz, Ein Noisin Ela Bisamuch, She'ein Lifnim. She'ein Lifnim should really be She'ein Lifnim Heimenu, and that's what they add in the Shinui and the Schois on the side. Meaning, you want to have the closest spot. You recall that Ariel pointed out last week or 2 weeks ago that there's a concept of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. Once you hit the mitzvah, you should do it immediately and don't go to the right, don't go to the left, don't go further. Yeah, the mitzvah Bo Liyotcha Al Tach Mitzana, it's in front of you. So therefore he's telling us that this Maracha was as close as possible to the opening of the Ulam and the Heichal, so that you would hit it immediately as you leave the Ulam or the Heichal, you get to the Mizbeach, it's there. So that was the Simen Kol Nitel Bifnim, whatever you're going to take from, it's really Mi Bifnim, whatever you take on Mi Bifnim, Linosim Bechutz, that you're going to put on the outside, what is that referring to? We'll see in a moment. And in other words, Al-Bisamach She'en Lifnim Meimenu. So you go and put it as close as possible that there's nothing even closer. And similarly, V'chala nitl bachutz really mean mi bachutz, anything that you're taking from the outside, linasim lefnim, to take it into the inside, ein nitl el besamach she'ein lefnim imenu, which is as close as possible that there's nothing closer from where you are standing. Now that is a simen, and therefore we have to try to understand what that means. It's like a marshal. So what is the nimshal? Anything that you're taking from the inside, to take to the outside, mind you. Ilema shirayim, are we talking about the shiore hadam? That makes a lot of sense, because we've been learning over the last few plant that although by the chatois hapnimiyois, two on Yom Kippur, and the possible ones throughout the year, the parka and Mashiach, parlam dav shal tzibar, the seiri avoyde zara, what's the din by all of those? The sprinkling of the blood was done in the Heichel, and on Yom Kippur, in fact, Lefnai v'Lefnim, in the Kodesh Kadoshim. But what happens with any remaining blood at the end of the process? Oh, the Shiraim, you take out into the Azara. Why don't you go and just pour it on the Yesoid of the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Because Mizbeach HaPnimi didn't have a Yesoid. How do I know? Because we had the three Psukim, that was the second Rasha from the second Pasuk, as you'll recall. Anyway, so bottom line is, where did you take the Shirayim to? You took it from the Pnim, and you took it to the Chutz. Ah, so that's what the Rabbi Yossi Simon, kol hanitol bifnim, whatever you're taking from the inside, that blood, linasa mechutz, to put on the outside, to pour it out on the inside, do it besamach as close as possible. And you remember we learned in the last perek, what was the closest yisoid to the pnimi? That was yisoid of the maravi, right?
Some say it was the south.
Some say it was the south, because then you have to move the mizbeach up a little bit so that you hit the south as soon as you come out. Good, we're going to talk about that shortly as well. So now, if that's what Rabbi Yossi meant with his simon, referring to Bederach Moshel, or at least in somewhat obscure, vague language, we're talking about the Shiore Hadam, Hilei Mishiraim, Behajik Sibuhu, Shkoyach Rabbi Yossi for the simon. But really, it's a pasuk in the Chumash. What does it say, the pasuk in the Chumash? If you look at the top number one, or Aleph of the Torah, or V'nosan HaKoyin Min Hadam, Al Karnes Mizbeach Ktoiris HaSamim Lefnei Hashem Hashem Oil Moyed. So you do the initial placing of the blood. That of course, that wasn't initial. You had it also the Peroiches, etc. They call it Dam HaPar, whatever's left over at the end of the whole process. Yishboich Al Yisoid Mizbach Oil Hashem Pesach Oil Moyed. You're supposed to pour it out on the Yisoid, which is at the Pesach. Which one is at the Pesach? Well, that's the Maravi. Unless the Mizbeach is pushed up, and then it's the Droimi. But that concept we know from the Pasuk already. Why does Rabbi Yossi have to tell us? You put a Besamach in the Fnim. What is now the second part? Until now we spoke about Kanitl Bifnim. What is the second part called? Nitl b'chutz li nosim b'fnim l'choyre mainiu ilay mi gecholim shel yom kippurim. Are you telling me the gecholim that they took from the marocha on Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol brought it inside? So that's what he means. Nitl b'chutz. He's taking mi b'chutz and he's bringing it b'fnim inside. What's the continuation of the pasuk? Mi al hamizbeach melefnei Hashem umleichofnav keteris samim daka behavim bebeis laparoiches. Ah, so you had to go and have in one hand, you had to go and take the mach toh, or the machvas that was full of the gecholim, and then on the other side, you had to go in the other hand, you had to go and take all a chofnaim of keteris. And you remember that that was a major juggling act, which was considered to be avoidis kadoshis, avoidis koshis from mikdash. Exactly. Anyway, so that's being the case. Is that what we're referring to? You're taking the gecholim from the outside, from the big mizbeach, and you take them inside into the heichol. And then after Kodesh Kadoshim and Yom Kippur, behedik simbuhu. The state of Allah malach the gachli eish mal mizbeach. So what is he telling us? Alice says, "Imar, I'll explain to you." And we saw it again. The simon of Rabbi Yossi. Kol anitul b'fnim li nosa mechutz. We're not talking over here about the shiore hadam. But we're talking about on Shabbos. You're taking me b'fnim l'shnei b'zich l'voyna sh'lechem aponin. That those shnei b'zich l'voyna, when you're bringing it to the Mizbeach, bring it to the closest point on the Mizbeach, means right in front of you, which is that four amas removed from the southern, southwestern end. Why do I do that? The gam mishraim, because you take a broader eye from the pasuk by shiraim, it's got to be the yisoid Mizbeach oil asher pesach oil moyed, the closest. Oh, so we learn from the shiore adam, to the din of the Shnei Bezich Leboina on Shabbos. Now, what is the second part? We're not talking about the once a year Gecholim. We're talking about the Gecholim of every single day that you bring in for the Ketores. How do you know that? The Gamli Gecholim Shi Yom Kippur. Just like by the Yom Kippur, we had the Pasuk. You take that Mizbech right where it's with Hashem, in other words, in front of the oil moed, and you take those gecholim. So I learn every single day of the year. Also, it's got to be the closest spot on the maracha, closest as possible to the opening of the door, to the ulam, to the hechem. Okay, until now.
Without taking into consideration the ramp, because.
Yeah, they also have ramp, you have to go up and down, that's correct.
Right, so you add the ramp.
You should add the ramp. What you're saying is correct. It was bothering me as well. What's bothering Bill is, it's all very nice to say you come out of the ulam and you go to the mizbeach, and now you put the shnei b'zich levayna. You can't jump up and as an acrobat,
but like 30 amos or something.
You have to go round the ramp.
Right.
But at least symbolically,
no, it means it's close as I understand it to mean as close as possible geographically, GPS to the
entrance
to the
mizbeach. 100% right.
It's not a matter how distance you what distance you want. It's where is it located? Relative.
It's not travel distance. It's spatial difference.
Right.
With the bird's eye view from
exactly.
Above,
yes,
above
yes.
You. Okay.
Or a drone view.
But that's the Masi, you're right. You can't just go and put it there. You have to do a little bit of a sivuv. You're going to have to make a right-hand tour.
They have a ladder there. It's not that it's geographical.
Well,
location.
I don't think that
there's
ladder.
No ladders
on
that.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a reshes, but there's no ladder.
Okay, anyway.
Ladder on, they did that.
Ladder on. All right, anyway, getting back to Agumat. So now, until now, it was very simple. By the way, we still have not proven why what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Remember, the reason why we brought this whole lengthy discussion, because Rabbi Zeira wanted to say, there must be a Mishnah to which we can point to that learns like Rabbi Yochanan, which is the Makar of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said that according to Rabbi Yossi, Kulam is Be'ach, but Tzafon Koin. So I don't know that yet. Now we're going to get to that magic moment. And from here to the bottom of the Amid, it's quite simple. However, you have to bear in mind the dynamics and the physicality of the Mizbeach inside the Azar. And that's what we're going to have to explore. Now, Zuktimar, Umaykasavar, we're four lines before the wide lines. Ikasavar Kulei Mizbeach B'Dorin Koi, that the entire Mizbeach is on the southern side of the Azara. Esrim V'Sheva Boi L'Meisi. Why are you telling me that you would put up the Marocha four amis from the corner on the bottom? It should really go up 27 amis, push it all the way towards the northern part of the Mizbeach. Why is he saying that? So now, for that, you have all these nice, beautiful pictures, but first, let's talk about, in general, about these art scroll svarim. This is a beginning of Masechtas Midos. Here you have a picture of the Azara. Wow. This is the Azara's Nashim over here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with us. This is the Ulam and the Heichel.
Mm-hmm.
Ulam is this over here, this wide part is called the Ulam. Here you have a door. And then here you have the Heichel is here. Here you have the Kodesh Kadoshim. Here the additional 11 amis in the back, and
mm-hmm.
then you get to the final wall of the
mm-hmm.
Of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so far so good. Now, what is important for our purposes, this is the square white thing over here, that's called the Mizbeach. Extending from it is the Kevesh, is the ramp. Now, in this picture, as you'll see, the top of the Mizbeach, the top inside of the Mizbeach,
mm-hmm.
coincides with halfway the opening towards the Ulam and to the Heichel. Which means that according to this picture, the entire Mizbeach was Bidorain. Why is the entire Mizbeach Bidorain? The Birman, from here to here, from top to bottom, is 135 amas, right? We had that yesterday in the Gemara. The whole, from the beginning of the Mizbeach until the end of the Kevesh, is altogether 62.
67 and
a
half.
You're close. Well, 67 and a half is half of the Azar.
Right.
Absolutely. Right? Half of 135. It gives you 67 and a half. But the distance from top to bottom...
there, it's not less.
It's 62. Why do you have to have less? Because you have to have room to be able to get
exactly.
up on the Kevesh.
How are you going
to
get through?
Otherwise, you'd be hitting the wall.
Right.
So according to this picture, from the bottom of the Kevesh till the wall was 5.5 amas altogether. So you have 5.5 plus 62, gets you to 67 and a half, and therefore the tzof line coincides... Okay, so this is also very important, that the opening into the Ulam and into the Heichel, the Ulam and Heichel openings were parallel to one another. The Ulam, however, was 20 amis wide, and the Heichel was only 10 amis wide. So half. That's why you see a much larger opening here,
mm-hmm.
and a much smaller opening. I'm sorry that you...
No, I can see.
I know, okay, Baruch Hashem.
I have
good.
Peripheral vision.
Good, that's great. Fine. Now, the Mizbeach is now ending here in the top. What that means is that when the Kohen is either entering or leaving, let's talk about leaving the Heichel, he opens up the doors, and he sees... only a tiny part of the Mizbeach in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which part? The 5 amas over here. Why the 5 amas over here? Because the entire opening over here was 20. The entire Heichel was here was 10. So I don't know if it's drawn totally to scale. But assuming that it was pushed up so that this is exactly the halfway point, so as you're opening the doors, remember the two doors, when we say there was 10 and 20, there were two doors each time. So it's like a large wedding hall, right? You open up the two doors, a large shul. You open two doors, one this side and the other side. We discussed last week, what is that spivet that you put in, right? Is it spigot, spivet, whatever.
Pivot.
Good. Anyway, that's the thing that hinges down below so that the doors don't swing back and forth all the time. But you have to pick those up, open the two doors. One door was 5 amas, the other door was 5 amas. In the case of the ulam, one door was 10 amas, the other door was 10 amas. Okay, anyway, so what does it have to do with the price of rice. Tea in China?
Right.
Rice in China? I thought it was tea in China. Okay, anyway, so the top of the Mizbeach now is parallel in this picture to the midway in the doors of the ulam or the hechel. So therefore, if a kohen is coming out and he sees the Mizbeach, according to this picture, he's not going to see the huge Mizbeach in front of him. He's only going to see the top 5 amas of the Mizbeach in front of him. To see more of the Mizbeach, he's going to have to turn right and use his peripheral vision to see the rest of the Mizbeach. It'll all be down to his right. Now, by the way,
and he's elevated.
Yes, elevated, correct. It could have been the other way around, too. We can take the whole Mizbeach and move it up so that all he would see would be the last 5 amas of the Mizbeach. It has to be at least 5 amas parallel because it has to be a Pesach Oil Moit. So at least 5 of the amas of the Mizbeach are parallel to the opening of the door of the Ulam and the Hechel. So if you push all of this up, take this square, move it up this way, so instead of seeing the 5 amas of the north part of the Mizbeach, you see the 5 amas of the southern portion of the Mizbeach.
But it doesn't go all the way to the Tzafon, basically.
It doesn't go all the way to the wall because you have to have
the
room.
It's half and half, more or less.
In this picture. We'll see in Mir Tashem, in the Gemara, we're going to move the Mizbeach. It's going to be a very moving Gemara as we go along.
Okay? It'll be altered.
Anyway, so with this background, I think the Gemara will be easier to follow. Sorry that you didn't see it.
Why is it five amos?
How wide is the doorways to the Hechel?
So we get the Cheshbon. So it's 20. It's 10 for the
Hechel.
Right, 10 for the Hechel. So half of that is 5.
Right.
So if I see just those 5. We're just talking about the 5 amos that otherwise were concealed by the closed door. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Excellent. In Jacques Digmar, it will hopefully become clear, or maybe it'll become less clear as we go through it. So starting again from 4 lines before the wide lines, Microsoft. Does he hold that the entire Mizbeach is down in the Dorim side? That being the case, Zokti Yimara, Esra Vesheva Boy Lemesi. Wouldn't it make sense that you have to go and have the Marocha 27 Amis from the corner to be able to reach when the person, the Kohen, is leaving the Heichal, that he should go and see it smack in front of him? What does the Yimara mean to say? Since we just said now, that for purposes of the location, the Marocha, we want it to be in such a place that there's no Lefnim. Lefnim Heimenu, that is the closest, if you will, to the opening of the doors when you're leaving the Heichel. Aha. Okay, so since the Heichel doors are 10 altogether, we're going to go and divide it in half because one door was to the right, one door is to the left. We're opening up that door now, and we want to be able to go and locate where the Marocha Shnia Shul Keteris is. And the Kohen has been taught for the last 5 years in the Kohen school that the Marocha is as close as possible to the opening as you're leaving the door. Okay, so now he's opening the door. Let's assume he's going down the right side of the door because after all he wants to get down to the Kevesh to be able to go up. We didn't discuss this, but you're all aware of the fact that the Heichel and the Ulam are elevated. So to go from the Ulam and the Hechel, he had to go down 15 steps. Kenega the Shir Hamalois, that you're going from top down to bottom, and then you go on to the Kevish, etc. Okay, so as he's leaving, the door is open. He has 5 amas of vision in front of him. If he wants to go and see that Marocha Shnia, the Choyra, the best part, and he wants to see it right, Ein Lefnim Heimenu, it should be parallel to him. And if you're telling me that the entire Mizbeach is Bedorim, that means that the northernmost part of the Mizbeach stops at halfway of the opening of the Heichel doors, because that's by definition the Heichel doors opened. Half of it was Tzafon, half of it was Darim. Same thing for the Ulam doors, just the Ulam, instead of just being 5 and 5, it was 10 and 10, 10 to the Tzafon side, 10 to the Darim side. Good. So now if the Mizbeach is pushed up, I should say it's pushed up, if the Mizbeach happens to be Kulay B'Darim, which means that the northernmost part starts at that midway line of the opening of the Ulam and the Heichel doors, so that means the last 5 amis, or I shouldn't say the last, the northernmost 5 amis of the Mizbeach are smack in front of that open door as he opens the door. Okay, so I want to see the Maracha. If the Maracha is all the way back, 4 amis removed from the Keren. Removed from the Keren. Maravis Droimis, that's the southwest corner, to get from where I'm located, the upper 5 northern amis, going all the way down, I'm going to have to go quite a bit to get there, because it's the other side of the Mizbeach, it's close to Darim, and I am as close to the Tzafon part as possible, because the Mizbeach ends, right. The Tzafon part ends there at the midway point. So why am I talking about having the Maracha all the way down there? It's got to be Ein Samach Lefnei Meimenu. It's got to be as close as possible to where I am. So it has to be then within that 5 amis.
It should be in the Darim part. I mean, in the Tzafon part.
Exactly right, in the Tzafon part. Right. And assuming that means the first 5 amis, so to get to those 5 amis, if I am counting now from the base of the southern side of the Mizbeach, and I'm going northern, if I go 27 amas, how big was the Mizbeach altogether at the bottom?
32 by 32.
So if I walk up now 27 amas on the Mizbeach, let's see, I'm walking on top of the Mizbeach, I'm walking 27 amas, for the first time now, I see now into the Ulam and the Heichel. Why do I see? Because now we're finally getting to that part where the Ulam and Heichel doors are open. I can look in from that 27 amma point. And of course, if you go 28 and 29, you can see even better, for sure. So I think when the Gemara says, it means like a minimum. Why are we talking about doing it all the way to the Darim side? Move it up as much as possible to the Tzafon side of the Mizbeach. How much should you do? At the very least, Esam v'sheva boilem meisi. Start from the Darim, count up 27. Or you can start the other way around. Start from the Tzafon side and walk down 5. But the point is, that would be the area where you can see into the Pesach oil maye. So why are you doing it 4 amas? 27 amas, right? Everybody understand that? Good.
Why are they talking about 32 up? We're talking up on top, we're only 28.
Yeah, but we're measuring for these purposes, but from the bottom. You'll see at the end of the Gemara, we're going to go and reduce it. Don't be too nervous, don't be too concerned, Mitchum. We'll try to address your point. But we are measuring now from the bottom and one way to the other. Okay, so then it should be pushed up 27 and not pushed up 4. Right, so then at the end of 27, now you're into that 5 amma space of where the Ulam door and the Heichel doors are open. It's now Pesach, so at the very least, you could do presumably 28 and 29 also, but at the least 27. And if you're going to tell me the Kedushas Heichel and Ulam have the same Kedusha status, then Esen V'Tarti Boi L'Meisi, at the very least, push it up 22. What does he want to mean to say? Since the Torah says that you have to have it, Pesach Oil Moed, how do you define Oil Moed? If you're defining it as the Heichel, which is, because in the Oil Moed, that's where you have all of the Kalei Sharis, you have over there the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you have the Shulchan, you have the Menorah, so that's the Oil Moed. And that's where you do the Zrikas HaZois, and the Oil Moed, and the Parochas, etc. However, the Ulam, which you could look upon as being kind of a Pruzdar, right, before you get into the main Traklin, it's just in a lobby way, so to speak. However, if you hold that Eichel, the Ulam, is Chodi, that has the same Kedusha, and you remember we had earlier in our Masechta, or maybe back in Hoyvius, that one of the benefits, if you hold that Heichel v'Ulam is Chodi, you could theoretically move the Mizbeach all the way into the Ulam. Then we had to remember, we had Din Lagabe, Haitzor Beregel, Haylocha Beregel, Havi Alocha, Leyavi Alocha, because then the Haylocha Shaloy Beregel, Havi Alocha, because if you can move the Mizbeach all the way to the opening of the Ulam, then all you have to do is then extend from the Ulam into the Azara, which is really a Klein, which is nothing, because that's on the border. Okay, we're getting off on a tangent. Chaka, tangent, a border. Okay. Anyway, Kosova, Kedushas, Heichli, Ulam, Chadhi, if you say that they're both exactly the same. So when you talk about Pesach, Oil, Moed, Lav, Dafka, we're talking about the 10 Amma width of the inner doors of the Heichel. Rather, let's talk about the 20 Amma width of the outer doors of the Ulam. And if that's the case, if we're splitting it down the middle, then we have 10 to the right and 10 to the left, or 10 of the amis of the width of the opening to the ulam was on the darim side, and 10 was on the tzafin side. Ah, so if that's the case, what we've now done is we've taken up another 5 amis in terms of Pesach Oil Moed. Don't think of Pesach Oil Moed meaning only the 5 amis, where if you're in the darim side, you open up the door, oh, I have my 5 amis, and that would be 5 plus 27. Now let's go and talk about the Ulam doors, which are 20 altogether, and therefore the half, which is on the Durham side, is now 10. So then move up the Maracha to 22 Amis from the southernmost part, because if you add 22 plus 10, then you have your 32, which is the entire length of the Mizbech. So I hope, getting back to that earlier picture that we had, here, the opening to the Heichel is rather small, yeah. 10 Amis. Opening to the Ulam is 20 Amis, much, much wider. Mm-hmm. So if you deem the opening of these two to be basically the same in terms of Kedusha, in terms of the definition of Pesach Oil Moed, then you could have your Mizbeach,
extra 5.
And you have an extra 5 space, because as the Kohen is leaving the Ulam, which is like leaving the Oil Moed, he has 10 Amis on the right. So as long as the Maroch is within those 10 Amis of the Mizbeach, then it's right in front of him. Ein lifnim lifnim imena. Ein tzamach lifnim imena.
The Mizbeach is in the same location. The only thing is the pyre that you move.
No,
we should move the fire. The fire at the moment, according to the Mishnah, is all the way down below, 4 from the end. So he said, until now, if you wanted opposite the doors as you're leaving and entering, then it should push it all the way 27, because since the doorway is 5 in its width, so as you're leaving, if you're to the most right of your doorway, you're leaving right next to the mezuzah, you're brushing against the wall, so that's that first amma. So guess what? If you had the maracha 27 ammas from the most southern corner, so then that would be corresponding to where you're walking. As you're walking out, oh, I see right in front of me the Maracha Shnia at the 27 Amma line out of the 32, right? Because the first 5 on the left, you could have pushed it a little bit further to 28, to 29. It just means at a minimum, put it at 27, so you see it as soon as you come out. But that's only if you're talking about Heichel doors. If you're talking about Ulam doors, then you have another 5. So you don't have to go and push it all the way to 27, push it up 22. Right. Because then you'd have
the fire, exactly.
Everything we're talking about is putting the fire, the Maracha. Exactly right. In the fancy English, it's called pyre, P-Y-R-E.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of fire, it's called pyre. Anyway, getting back to, and if you keep on pushing it, it gets higher and higher.
Higher pyre.
Yeah.
Pyre gets higher.
Yeah.
No, so the pyre is a duggish in the pay.
Ah, very good. Very good. V'inami kasava kedushas heichel v'ulam chodi then esem v'taati boi meisi. So why is it doing over there down below the 4 amas? It should be pushed up at least 22. Okay, so until now, we haven't moved the Mizbeach even a square inch. We had that the northernmost part of the Mizbeach ends at the... Nixon line, right?
Mason-Dixon line. The north-south border.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly at the line separating between north and south part of the Azar. What happens if we were to move the Mizbeach? The whole Mizbeach of 32 is now... not all Bedarim, and not all Betzafen, but rather it's halfway. So now you're really moving the Mizbeach up. How much are we moving the Mizbeach? So now, when I'm leaving the Heichel, if I look to my right, there are 16 Amis, which are below the border, so to speak, which are on the southern side of the Azara. If I look to my left, again, when you're leaving the Heichel, leaving the Ulam, then you have the other 16 Amis are to the north of that Mason-Dixon line, that separates between. There really was no such line. We're talking about an imaginary crooked line or not, they don't call
dotted
it broken.
Broken line.
Dotted broken line. Oh, I don't want to call it broken. Dotted line. Very good. Anyway, so if you have ikasav chetzi b'tzofim v'chetzi b'dorim, then chadzrei boy lemeisi. So it's again the same cheshbon, but instead of talking about subtracting 5 amis from your 32, we're going to go and subtract 5 amis from the 16. Meaning, you're leaving the heichol if you wanted to look only at the right-hand side of the mizbeach, which was on the dorim side. So then, let's start from the corner, move our way up, and go up 11 amis. By going up 11 amis, chadzrei, so now we have hit right before the remaining 5 amis bedorim. So since when I leave the ulam and I open the door, I'm on the dorim side, on the right-hand side, right? It's exactly halfway, we said. That Mason-Dixon line is exactly halfway of the 10 amis of the heichel, and halfway of the 20 amis of the ulam. So let's talk about the heichel now. So now I'm leaving the heichel. I have 5 amis to my right, because that's the opening width of that passage. Fine. So now I'm looking at the mizbeach. The mizbeach is smack in front of me. But where would be that point that the maracha would be closest to me geographically, the bird eye view, as you're leaving the heichel. Oh, so if you would push the maracha and move it from the corner 11 amis up, so now of the 16 amis where it's in front of me, in other words, which is in the dorim side, so the first 5 amis are right in front. Now that I move the maracha 11 amis up, oh, as I'm leaving the heichel, it's right in front of me. Oh, amish in samach lefnim emenu. Again, when it says 11, presumably means a minimum of 11. Make it on the 12, or make it on the 13. So as I'm leaving the heichal, I see it right in front of me. Oh, very good. At the very least, 11 amis, so that it's smack in front of me as I leave, if I'm walking on the rightmost amma as I'm leaving the heichal. And if the elikasavan, if you hold ektushas heichal v'ulam chodem miltzehi, that it's all one and the same, therefore you don't have to push it up 11 amis, but at least shis boiler mates, at least push it up 6 amis. Why 6 amis? Because once again, as I'm leaving the ulam, the 10 amis which are to my right in front of me, those are the 10 of the 16 southern amis of the mizbeach, because the mizbeach is smack in the middle. So therefore, 16 amis is in the dorim side. The first 10 happen to be in front of me as I'm leaving the ulam. If you were now to go and put the maroch at the end of 6 amis, oh, that's exactly where I would see it as I'm coming out. Why would I see when I'm coming out? Because the whole thing is 16. And if the kedush is ulam hechel, then that means I have 10 amis to play with. So I'm leaving the ulam, and I see the 10 amis in front of me of the southern part, the northernmost part of the southern half of the Mizbeach. So those are the 10 amis in front of me. And then, to my right, I see the Maracha, which is 6 amis from the end, because it's 16 altogether. So if I moved it up to 6, instead of Gesundheit, so instead of moving the Maracha to 4 amis, Gesundheit again, instead of having it, the Maracha, 4 amis from the corner, make it 2 more amis, 6 amis from the corner. So as soon as I leave, it's right in front of me. Zokti Mora, Sambuzdach Zayin Elam Mishum Dekasova, Kulim Mizbech V'Tzofen Koi. Ah, the home Mizbech is on the Tzofen side. Not, like we said originally, all on the Dorim. And not halfway Mason-Dixon line, but it's all B'Tzofen Koi. Okay. Vani Arba Amais, Am Yesoid, V'Am Asoidiv, V'Am Amokim Koronais, V'Am Amokim Ragli Kehanim. What does the Gemara mean with that? I'm now leaving the Heichel or the Ulam. I do no longer have the benefit of having the Mizbeach on the Dorim when I'm leaving. In fact, it's all on the Tzofen side. Okay, so that's no problem. So I'm going to leave the Heichel. I can leave it through. Don't have to leave through the right door. I can leave through the left door. But that's fine. And notice when he's leaving the Heichel, halfway of the space of the opening of the Heichel, half of it was in Dorim, half of it was Tzofen. So now we're assuming again that the Mizbeach is Kulibit Tzofen, and therefore the foot of the Mizbeach is starting at the Tzofen line, at that Mason-Dixon line. Bear in mind, and of course, the Kevish is all going to be in the Dorim side, because you have to be able to get to the top of the Mizbeach. But that doesn't concern us. We're not talking about the Kevish.
It's always in the Dorim side. No matter where the Mizbeach is located, the Kevish is always in the Dorim.
Well, it depends if you push the...
It's always going to be in the Dorim side.
Why do we have to always be in the
Dorim? Because if the Mizbeach is entirely in Tzofen, the Kevish has to be entirely in Dorim.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What's the half of the width of the Azara? Half of 135?
Right.
67 and a half. Yeah. Right?
Right?
Good. So what happens if the Kevesh ends at the, exactly on the Mason-Dixon line?
Midline.
So that together with the Mizbeach, how much do you have altogether? 62.
Right.
And then beyond the Mizbeach, till the Kirat Tzvon, you have another 5.5 amas. So you could have, theoretically, the entire Kevesh on the Tzofen side. I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying that's what happened. But to go and say emphatically, it's impossible.
Right.
It's not impossible. You could have the whole thing on the Tzofen side, including the Kevesh, and you will go up the Kevesh from the Dorim. You have to have some room to get up, because if you push it all the way to the wall, and you have
to leave no Tzofen to the Shechtik
Kachem. Exactly. So you have to have at least 5.5 empty space, but you could theoretically have the whole Kevesh. Okay, but again,
no.
The way our Gemara is positing is, we forget about the Kevesh, we're just looking at the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach now is totally Betzofein, where the southernmost part of the Mizbeach starts at that line, which is halfway, the midline, between the half of the Heichel or half of the Ulam, actually both. Aha. Okay, so what does that help me? What that helps me is, I want to have the fire, the pyre, right next to when I'm leaving the Azod, and they're leaving the Heichel at the Ulam. So where am I going to go and place it? So now Gemara is being very, very practical. And it's saying, well, let's start counting those 4 amas that you said, 4 amas north of the southernmost corner of the Mizbeach. Okay, so the first amma, you couldn't put the fire, because that amma is connected to the amma Yesoid. There's really no Yesoid on the southern wall, but at least you have that little amala of Yesoid. Okay, so that's one amma. You can't put the fire over there. And then the amma Soiv, you can't put the Maroch on top of the Soiviv. And then as you get to the top of the Mizbeach, you have to leave an Amma for the Mokum Koronis. So it certainly couldn't be on the Koronis, you can't put the Marocha. And then you have the Amma Mokum Ragle Kahanim. The Kahanim had to have some space on the top of the Mizbeach to be able to walk around, to be able to go and put the Aimrin on, and if any of them fell off, to be able to replace them and to take out the old wood and put in new wood and take out the Tumas Hadesh. So you had to have an extra Amma. You had walking space. So now if we've added all of those 4 together, the Amma Yesoid, Amma Mokim Koronis, and Amma Mokim Ragli Kahanim, so the first place that you could possibly put your fire would be after those 4 amas. If you went anywhere beyond the 4 amas, then you wouldn't be in front of the Pesach anymore to have in front of the 4 amas. That's why we said, put the fire after the conclusion of the 4 amas from the southernmost part. So this, based on this, says Imara, I have a raya, says Reb Zeira, that this Mishnah presumably is going according to Reb Yossi, and that Reb Yossi holds that the whole Mizbeach was Bitzofen Koi, and that's why Reb Yossi said at the top of the Amid, this is the simon to remember that you want that the fire should be Besamach to the Heichel and to the Ulam, She'ein Samach Lefnim Heimenu. So the Chir is a Seira Sheina raya. Zokti Yimara, Omer Vadabarahava, the cheshbon that you made is perfect, but you have no raya that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. It could be Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. The Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? The son Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Mizbeach Mamutza vi Oimer bi Emtzo Hazara. The Mizbeach was smack in the middle, and therefore 16 amas to the north, 16 amas to the south of the Azara. Ushloish Mishtaim Amis Hoyuloi, as we know it has 32. Esr Amis Keneged Pischoi Shel Heichol, of, if you looked at the middle of the Mizbeach, 10 Amis were exactly parallel to Pesach Shel Heichol. And as a result, since the whole length and the whole width was 32, if we're taking the middle 10 and we're carving that out, we're saying that's Keneged Pischoi Shel Heichol, how much was to the right and how much was to the left? 32 minus 10 is roughly
22.
And if we're going to split it up to the right and to the left, how much are we going to have? 11 to one side, 11 to the other side. And that's what Imara says. So there were shtayim, shloisha mishtayim amis, 32. Loi. Es amis kenege pischa shel heichel, 10 amis which was parallel to the Pesach Shalheichel. Achas Esri Amma Mikan, 11 to the right. The Achas Esri Amma Mikan, 11 to the left. Nimsa Mizbeach Mechuvin Kineged Heichel. So the Mizbeach was exactly smack in the middle, right next to the Heichel. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, what does all of that help? I still want to know the location of the fire. So first of all, what we've established is, at least according to Rav Ada Bar Hava, that Mishnah is not Rav Yosi. That Mishnah happens to be Rav Yehuda that says that the Mizbeach was smack in the middle. Okay, but Soif Soif, Rav Yehuda, Chatzri Boi Lameisi. Don't you have to go and have the fire 11 Amos from the corner? Because so, without 11 Amos, then you are going the entire length of the Mizbeach, which was not Keneged HaPesach, so that as soon as those 11 Amos end, and you build your fire over there, now you're within the 10 middle Amos, you're in the 5 or the right Amos, if you will, so the 5 and 11, that would be in the 16 Amos, so why are you going and building your fire 4 Amos from the corner? Move it up at least 11 Amos, so as you get to 11 Amos, now when you're opening up the doors of the Heichel, so the first 5 Amos on the right, since the Mizbeach is 16 Amos on the right, so first 5 and then 11, oh, then you would see the fire right there to the right as you're leaving the Heichel. So L'chayda, it shouldn't be a Cheshbon of 4 Amos, it should be 11 Amos. Elamai v'ikosav ha'kedushas Heichel, v'ulam chadim milzihi, that the Heichel and the Ulam are exactly the same. So guess what? Shis boi l'meisi. Really, this is the same Gemara as we had before, we're just repeating it, alibad Rav Yehuda. And that is, move the fire up at least 6 Amos, so that as you're leaving the Heichel, the first 10 are directly in front of you, you're 100%, and of the 20 Amos, 10 are there, and now I'm looking to the right, and there are another 6 Amos left, right? Because there's 16 altogether on the right-hand side as you're leaving, on the southern side. So don't push it up only 4 Amos, push up your fire 6 Amos, so that when you're leaving the Heichel, I see the fire right in front of me here on the right. In other words, at least 6 Amos, 7 Amos, 8 Amos, 9 Amos. So as you're leaving, you see the, why did you say 4? And now the Gemara addresses the point that Brother Shai made about a half an hour ago. Hani arba Amos, bahadi am yesoive amesoivev. You were thinking until now that the 4 Amos include the yesoid and the soivev. And then you said, no, 4 Amos is not enough, move it up to 6. Arba Amos, bar me ama yesoid, and bar me amesoivev. And therefore, you have, in fact, 6 Amos. Don't go and start counting your Amos for the 4 Amma purpose from the very bottom, the Am Yisoid. Put up the way Am Yisoid and put away the Am Yisoid. Now you're in the top of the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach, there you have to move it 4 Amos, where if you add the 4 together with the 2, you get 6 altogether. So you have moved it 6 Amos from the
effectively.
Base. Effectively. How do you have that 6? It's the 2 that we're not counting, plus the 4 on top of the Mizbeach. Because after all, you don't put the Mizbeach, the fire down below, you don't put it on the side, you put it on the top of the Mizbeach. So from the corner of the top of the Mizbeach, you pushed it 4 Amos, so you have the 4 together with the Yisoid and the Soivet, so you have 6 altogether, and with this, now you have the 10 Amos open of the door, because you're talking about the doors of the Ulam, not of the Heichel. So you have the 10 together with the 6. Oh, so as you're leaving, you hit that fire, so it's Ein Lecha Karvi Man. Frank Dimara, you just said Stein like Rabbi Yehuda. But like Rabbi Yosef Mamutza, why don't you say, like we said originally, Rabbi Zeira said this is a right to Rabbi Yochanan, that this mission is Rabbi Yosef, and smack in the middle. Why do you have to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, smack in the middle? Say it's according to Rabbi Yosef, it's smack in the middle, and you have no raya that the Mizbeach was kulay bitzofen koi. Says Yomara, I could have said Rabbi Yosef, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Sheman Alei Mamutza Behedja, going back to that braisa that we learned, the fifth of the wide lines. So here I don't have to start clearing. Did he hold it was Bitzafin? It was Midorim. Do you have to move it? No. It's a clear. So that's why I'd rather say that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's so Mimutza, and I do not have a raya after all to Rabbi Yochanan, that it goes according to Rabbi Yosi, and that Kule Bitzafin Koi. And Mitchum, tomorrow you thought that you're finished. We're going to have another view that it goes according to Rabbi Yosi, Haglili, the Galilean. Have a wonderful day.
Beautiful.